Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Well, good morning, Rocks family. How are you going? Well, all right, let's try that again. How are you going, Rocks family? Brilliant. I hope you're having a wonderful weekend, and it is so good to be with you again. Genuinely a pleasure and a privilege to have the opportunity to spend some time with you. Thank you, Daniel, for your very kind and generous introduction. I think 50% of it was true, and hopefully I can live up to the other 50%. But a pleasure to be here and to see just how you are growing and advancing the kingdom of God in this beautiful part of our city. Really encouraged by the ongoing work upstairs at the mezzanine level. I love the fact that as a church, you're constantly trying to expand your home and just widen your welcome and make a space where people can come in and feel welcome and encounter God and meet others. And the fact that you're constantly trying to break ground and you're stretching and you're growing and you're doing new things, it's brilliant. And so just know that our hearts are with you and our thoughts and prayers are with you. And we're trusting that God is going to do some wonderful things through your faith community in this very strategic, very important part of our city. God has planted you here for a reason, and it's not coincidental that you are where you are, and he's entrusting you with an enormous responsibility for this part of the city. So I want to encourage all of you to grab that responsibility as an opportunity to influence this city in one of the most important ways. And so really excited about what God's doing here and happy to play a part in serving you in any small way that I can and that we as a church can. So good to be with you this morning. And I just want to add my welcome as well to anyone who's here for the first time. It's great to have you here. And nobody in this room takes it for granted that you're willing to spend part of your weekend with us. We think that is absolutely brilliant. And regardless of where you are in relation to God and faith and God question, if you're just exploring Christianity, wondering whether or not this might be true, let me tell you, you are in the right place. Just make yourself at home, relax, open your heart, know that you're welcome, know that you are loved, and I really trust that you're going to enjoy our conversation today. And today I want to talk to you about becoming a bodybuilder. Becoming a bodybuilder, and as you can tell from my impressive physique, I know a lot about bodybuilding, but every body has a body, and everybody's body is both brilliant and broken. Everybody's body is brilliant in that the human body is a masterful work of divine engineering. The human body is a delicate, intricate, finely tuned network of organs and systems and processes that is held together by nothing less than divine genius. Your body, in a word, is amazing. But everybody's body, in addition to being brilliant, is also broken. Is in some way tainted by the effects of sin and death, the imperfection that just permeates the whole world as we know it. And sometimes that brokenness shows up as dysfunction or as disease or as disability or disproportion or degeneration. But everybody's body is both brilliant and broken. Now, I was reading the other day about the human body, and I came across some fascinating facts about the human body. And you may not know this. I have to put these on now because my body is degenerating the older I get. But do you know that your body has 100 trillion individual cells, over 600 muscles, 206 bones, 96,000 kilometers of blood vessels, and yet is 75% water? Wow. Your heart pumps 6,300 liters of blood every day. Your brain processes 100 million bits of data every second and yet uses less electricity than a light bulb. We can see over 300,000 different tones, hear over 300,000 different tones and see 8 million different colors. If all 600 muscles pulled together in the same direction, we would be able to move 25 tons of weight. There's a lesson in unity right there. 3 billion characters in your DNA code are unique to you, and during your lifetime, you will produce enough saliva to fill 2 Olympic swimming pools. Can you imagine diving into a swimming pool of your own saliva? Or worse, somebody else's, all right? Every square inch on your body contains around 32 million bacteria. Do you know that you have more bacteria in your mouth than there are people living in the United States of America? And every time you kiss somebody, the bacteria swaps from one mouth to the other, right? Kissing is like an international exchange program for bacteria, right? I'm not trying to put you off kissing. I'm just trying to give you the facts here. Do you know that by age 60, most people will have lost half their taste buds? Do you know that that's why food becomes more bland the older you get? It's why children struggle with things like Brussels sprouts, because Brussels sprouts are actually very bitter to the taste. And as an adult, it's not that bitter to you, but to kids, it's foul, right? So you're going to lose half your taste buds by the time you're 60. And do you know that men burn fat faster than women by a rate of 50 calories a day? And all the women said, I knew it. I knew we were at a disadvantage. You're right, you are. Okay, so fascinating facts about the body. Now, why am I telling you all these interesting things about the body? Well, do you know that when we turn to the New Testament and we open up the pages of the Bible, we discover that the human body in all its brilliance and brokenness is the number one, the primary dominant metaphor for this thing we call church, for this gathering of God's people, for the community of faith. In fact, when we turn to the pages of Scripture, we discover that there are three primary metaphors for the faith community, for the gathering of God's people, and they are a bride, a body, and a building. A bride, a body, and a building. And each one of those metaphors is supposed to communicate a particular aspect of what it means to be a faith community and what it means to be in relationship with God. Each one of those three metaphors highlights a different aspect or characteristic of what it is to be together and what it is to be in relationship with the living God. And hands down, the most popular and the most widely used and the most dominant metaphor in the Scriptures for the church is that of a body. A body. And this, of course, is certainly true of the Apostle Paul, who many of you know would be one of the most prolific writers of the New Testament, a first century Christian leader and a follower of Jesus who authored much of our New Testament Bible. And for Paul, this was his favorite way of thinking about the church. So, for example, in Romans chapter 5, verse 4, he says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong together, right? We belong together and we are better together. And this is such a helpful way of thinking about the church as a body. And for me, when I think about the church as a body, the question that automatically comes to mind is, so what does it take then for this body to be healthy? If we are the church, and we are, and the church is a body, and it is, what does it take for that body to be healthy and to be strong? And interestingly enough, Paul answers this very question in another portion of Scripture, in Ephesians chapter 4, when he talks about the church, once again using the metaphor or the analogy of a body. And this is what he says, reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 to 16. He says, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, he helps the other parts to grow, or it helps the other parts to grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And I don't know about you, but I reckon that last line from Paul perfectly describes the kind of church we all want to be a part of. Healthy, growing, and full of love. Come on, how many of you want to be part of a church that is healthy, growing, and full of love? Give me a wave. At least 65, 70% of you, all right? That's the kind of church you want to be a part of. And I know you do too. A church that is healthy and growing and full of love. And so what does it take to become that kind of a body? Well, Paul tells us right here in this passage that we've just read together. And in it, he gives us three essentials for every local church, for every body of believers to be healthy, growing, and full of love. And I want to share them with you today. So get ready to jot them down if you're taking notes, or put them down in your phone. Get them into your heart. Get them into your head. Here they are. Number one, the church as a body is healthy when every part is connected to the head. The church is healthy as a body when every part is connected to the head. Now, I can do some pretty special things with my body. I can move my body pretty much any way I want. I can do a little running man dance, right? Come on. What can you do with your body? Everybody do something crazy with your body. Come on. Everybody wave your hands. Move your head. Do something. Move. Let me see you move. Very good, Daniel. Thank you for your enthusiasm. All right. Okay. Why can we move our bodies this way? I can move my body and the individual parts of my body because every part of my body is connected to my head. And my body is receiving instruction and communication and direction from my head. Now, the moment that communication stops, the moment the direction and the instruction is interrupted, that particular part of my body ceases to function. So if the parts of my body are going to operate properly, those parts need to be receiving direct instruction and communication from my head. And if you've ever experienced paralysis in any way, whether it's temporal or permanent or partial or whole of body, you will know what a limiting thing it is on your body when any part of you ceases to receive communication from the head. It's like when you go to the dentist and you have a filling or you have a tooth taken out. The dentist will inject Novocaine or some other form of anesthetic or sedative to that part of your face. And then, of course, your lip goes numb and you walk around like this the whole day with drool running down the side of your face because your lip is temporarily paralyzed. The communication from that part of your body to your brain has been temporarily interrupted so that that part of your body doesn't feel pain. But, of course, it then affects how that part of your body functions. It's like, have you ever been sitting in one position too long and your circulation gets interrupted and cut off, and when you get up, your leg's gone to sleep and you've got to walk like this. It feels like you're dragging your limb behind you, right? And you get that pins or needle feeling because the communication to your body has been temporarily interrupted. And of course, that type of paralysis can be temporal, it can be permanent, it can be partial, it can be whole of body. But in order for your body to function and the individual parts thereof, every part needs to receive direct communication from the head. There's actually a disease that's prevalent in the world today, and surprisingly more so than most people think. And this disease affects people, millions of people all over the world. And it's a disease called leprosy. And leprosy is often mistakenly thought of as a disease that causes people's parts, body parts, to fall off. So when you meet people with leprosy, you'll see they're missing fingers and toes and ears and that type of thing. But leprosy is actually a bacterial infection that, amongst other things, attacks the nervous system. And so it blocks the nervous system from communicating between the brain and the body. So what happens is people with leprosy stop feeling pain. And so they might reach out and say, touch something hot like a stove or a fire and burn themselves and not realize it. They may step on a nail and a nail would go through their foot. They'd be completely unaware because they can't feel any pain. And so then they'll develop an infection in that part of the body, and eventually the body part will fall off. It's a terrible, terrible disease. But that is what leprosy does. It breaks the communication between the head and the body so that the body can't receive instruction from the head. It's a terrible disease. And do you know that spiritually speaking, it's the same? That in order for the body to be healthy, it needs to be directly connected to the head and every part thereof. Now, question, who is the head of the body? Let me give you a clue. It's not Daniel. It's not Michael. It's not Sadara. It's not John. It's not me. It's not the chairman of the board. It's not the Pope. It's not any pastor, prophet, or priest. Who is the head of the body? Jesus. Say it like you love him. All right. Absolutely. Jesus is the head of the body. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 15, he says, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. And if the body is going to be healthy and growing and full of love, it's going to be because every part of the body, and that means you and 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 me, every part of the body is personally, individually, relationally connected to Jesus, the head. You see, being a Christian and following Jesus is not just about a change in direction for your life. It's about a change in connection. It's about getting connected personally, spiritually, and relationally to God through the person of his son, Jesus, who is the author of all life and whom to know is life abundant and life eternal. And so the good news of the gospel doesn't just invite us into an expression of personal faith in Jesus, but it invites us into a personal relationship with Jesus. And the two are not the same. Not only are we called on by God to put our faith and trust in God, but we are invited into a relationship with God. So when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, what happens is you experience a change in your relationship to God. But that change in relationship to God then opens up the door for you to step into relationship with God. And they are not one and the same thing. So when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you go from being a sinner to a saint. You go from being condemned to being forgiven. You go from being separated to being connected. You go from being outside of the kingdom of God to being inside the kingdom of God, right? You experience a change in your relationship to God, but that does not automatically imply you have a relationship with God. And yet that's available to you. But relationship with God requires what every other relationship requires: connection, intimacy, conversation. It requires you talk to Him, hear from Him, and receive instruction directly from Him to your heart. Now, the way I like to explain it is this. I have a relationship to our current Prime Minister, Scott Morrison. I have a relationship to him because he is my Prime Minister. I'm a citizen of Australia. And as the Prime Minister, he makes laws and decrees and makes decisions and exercises authority, and that affects my life in some way. But even though I have a relationship to him, I don't have a relationship with him, because we never talk. He never calls. We've never had a conversation. There's no connection. There's no intimacy. There's no friendship. If we walk past each other on the street, I would recognize him, but he wouldn't recognize me, because even though I have a relationship to him, I don't have a relationship with him. And sadly, you know, so many people come into Christian faith and they come into Christian community and they genuinely put their faith and their trust in Jesus, and they experience a change in their relationship to God. They go from being sinner to saint and condemned to forgiven and excluded to included. But then they never step through the open door of opportunity to experience relationship with God, to have conversation with Him, to hear from Him, to receive direction and instruction and guidance straight from Him. How many of you know you do not need a pastor or a prophet or a priest to stand between you and Jesus? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." You can hear His voice. You can receive instruction and guidance straight from Him. You can know His love. You can experience His presence. You can have conversation with Him, and you can hear directly from Him. I thought that might get an amen. Isn't that good news? That's absolutely brilliant. And so God's opening up the door for you to step into relationship with Him. And friends, the body of Christ, the body of this gathering of followers of Jesus, will be healthy, growing, and full of love when every single part, and that means every single one of us, is directly connected personally, relationally, and experientially to the person of Jesus Christ, who lived, died, and rose again so that that relationship could be possible. Over in the New Testament, in the book of Colossians, Paul writes to a group of believers in a little town called Colossae. And evidently from what he was writing, there was a whole bunch of false teachers who had come through the town. And they were trying to deceive and discourage and dissuade these Christians. And so Paul's writing Colossians to protect and correct the church. And so this is what he says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 to 20. He says, "So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days, new moon ceremonies, or Sabbaths, insisting on pious self-denial." He says, "Their sinful minds have made them proud." And here it is, "They are not connected to Christ, the head of the body, for He holds the whole body together with joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it." Here Paul says the fundamental problem with these false teachers permeating the body is they don't have a connection to Christ. They're not connected to the head, so don't listen to them and don't follow them. And what Paul is trying to tell us here through this statement in Colossians 2 is this: don't settle for religious rules and regulations when God is inviting you into relationship. Don't settle for religious rules and regulations when God has flung open the door and extended the invitation for you to step into the dynamic freedom that comes with knowing God personally, individually, for yourself, and enjoying friendship and relationship with Him. And so this is the first thing that makes for a healthy, growing body that's full of love. Every single individual is connected to the head. Number two, the second thing that makes for a healthy, growing spiritual body is that every part is connected to the body. Every part is connected to the body. I have a friend in South Africa who's about 20 years older than me, and he's retired now, but he used to work for a construction company. And he would do a lot of site management, and he was telling me one day he was on site orientating and preparing a group of young construction workers who had migrated, most of them, very low-skilled, uneducated laborers, really basic-level tradies. They had come across the border, they were looking for work, and they had been included in this construction crew, and they were going to do something really basic, like, I think, dig ditches for pipes or something. And so he and his boss were on site, and they were preparing this group of tradies for the work that they were going to do. And my friend's boss had a glass eye. So he had lost his eye in a work accident, and so he had a glass eye put in for aesthetic purposes. And so when he had finished his orientation with these young men, he said, right, we're going to go off to work now. He said, hold on, before you do. And he pushed on the side of his eye like this, and he popped his glass eye out. And then he took it and he put it on a pile of bricks that was standing nearby. And he went back to the workers and he said, now I'm getting in my ute and I'm leaving. I'll be back in 2 hours, but I'm watching you. He said, make sure you don't cut corners and don't slack off because I've got my eye on you. And my friend said, these guys, their eyes went as big as saucers. They had never seen anything like this before. And he said, once the boss left, the guys got into the trenches. He said, they worked so hard. And every now and again, they would look across at the bricks and try and figure out what is going on. Now, of course, you and I know that that's not possible. You can't take a part of your body off your body and put it somewhere and have it function. It can only function when it's connected to the body. If I chop off my hand and put it down there on the front row, not only would that be freaky, but my hand would cease to function. If I chopped off my leg and left it on the side of the stage, that leg would not be able to function. The only reason it can function is because it is connected to the body. And so for every part of the body to function, be healthy and growing and full of love, every part needs to be connected to the body, deeply embedded in the body, relationally, practically. And do you know the truth of the matter is you can come here to every single service, experience every single celebration. You can hear every single sermon. But if you don't connect meaningfully and relationally with the people that you are doing this faith journey with, you've missed the point altogether. So it's all about fitting together with the body. And that's why in Ephesians 4 verse 15, Paul says, he, Jesus, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Fit together perfectly. We're supposed to be together. And of course, when the parts of the body are together, the body nourishes, nurtures, cares for, and protects itself. It's like, have you ever been standing on a cricket field or maybe on the side of a cricket field and somebody hits the cricket ball in your direction? What's the first thing you do if it's flying for your head? Right, you put up your hands to protect your face. You just do it instinctively. If somebody's standing next to you and they're holding a balloon and they've got a pin and they're going to pop the balloon, what do? Right, instinctively, you just cover your ears. Right, your body just naturally and reflexively responds to protect and nurture and care for itself. And whenever any one part of the body is in danger, whenever one part of the body is threatened, the rest of the body comes to its aid. It's like if you've ever broken an arm, you'll know that what they do is they take that arm and they put it in a cast and then they put it in a sling and they tell you to hold it close to your body. Why? Because when a part of the body is injured or damaged or wounded, in order for it to be made whole, it needs to be close to the body. If you've ever sprained an ankle or broken a leg, you'll know that what they do is they give you a set of crutches and for several weeks you walk around on a set of crutches. Because what they want you to do is transfer the weight that would have gone on your leg onto your shoulders and your arms so that your arms and your shoulders can carry the weight that your leg would have been carrying while it gets well. And so, friends, the reason why God wants you embedded in the body and connected to the body is because when you are and when you do connect like that, the body can nurture you, care for you, protect you, and carry you and support you. And we all go through seasons of life where we suffer disappointment, setback, hurt. We all get wounded in the soul. We all experience difficulty in life. And when you're surrounded by people who love you and care about you and know you, they can carry you and they can support you. And it is a beautiful and a wonderful thing. And of course, no doubt, there's a price to pay for being part of the body. My nose doesn't always appreciate being on the same part of my body as my armpits. Right? But someday you're the nose and someday you're the armpits. But we still belong together. Right? And no doubt when you embed it in the life of the body and connected relationally to the rest of the body, there's challenge and there's things to negotiate. But the strength and the support and the comfort and the care that comes when you are relationally connected to those around you is incredibly valuable. And that's why you'll hear Daniel and Sidara and John and Michael and so many others on the team telling you regularly, getting into link groups, coming along to discipleship pathway opportunities, getting yourself connected into a volunteer service team. All of these things are so important to your shared life together and to your individual faith journey because all of it helps you embed in the body, get connected to the body practically and relationally. And then thirdly and finally, the third thing that makes for a body that is healthy, growing, and full of love is that every part fulfills its function. Every part fulfills its function. So in Ephesians 4 verse 16, Paul goes on to say, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And you know, the truth of the matter is every single one of you sitting here today is in some way uniquely graced by God. Every single one of you are gifted. Every single one of you have a deposit in your life of wisdom, life experience, talent, ability, whatever it is that God has given you. And when you take what God has given you and you use it to serve the whole body grows. When you take that leadership gift, that leadership ability, and you use it to lead, the whole body is strengthened. When you take that ability to sing and to songwrite, and you write songs and you sing those songs, you empower and enrich the life and the heart and the soul of the faith community. When you take what God has given you to do and you do it, we are all the better for it. And when you don't, we all lose out. When you don't do what God's called you to do and you don't give what God's empowered you to give, the whole body suffers and we are all at a loss. And you might be sitting there thinking to yourself, hold on, Tim, you don't know me. Like, you don't know how ordinary I am. I don't have a whole lot of talent and I don't have a whole lot of ability and I don't have a whole lot of life experience and I don't really have anything to give. I don't believe it for a second. Every single one of you have been enriched by God through your life experience and your journey. There's something in you that God wants you to use to serve. And no matter how big or small you think your part is, every part is valuable and every part is necessary. Do you know that in your body, in your digestive system, right, in your bowel, at the end of your large intestine, there's a little valve, right, called the sphincter valve. Everybody say sphincter valve. Say it again nice and loud with conviction and passion and enthusiasm. Sphincter valve. Such a great word, right? And a sphincter valve is probably no bigger than the end of your thumb. And that little fleshy, muscular sphincter valve opens and closes on reflex and impulse when your stomach muscles contract. And the reason it does that is because it controls the flow within your bowel. So if you laugh or if you sneeze and your stomach muscles contract, that little sphincter valve closes on impulse, and if it didn't, you would soil yourself every time. So you'd be standing at a barbecue holding your drink, and somebody would tell a joke, and you'd be like, and you'd have to leave. All right, how many of you are thankful for your sphincter valve right now? Yeah, exactly right, okay? Now, I'm not for a moment suggesting that you might be the sphincter valve of the Rocks Church, but no matter how small and insignificant you may consider yourself to be, you are incredibly valuable, and you are incredibly necessary. And whatever it is that God has called you to be and empowered you to be, it is necessary for the health and life of this body that you be that and that you do that and that you give yourself in service to others. And do you know that ultimately this call to serve others in this way is just fundamental to following Jesus? It's just at the heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. If you're going to be a deeply committed, fully devoted follower of Jesus, then you've got to make a pretty big commitment to serving others. You can't say, I follow Jesus, but I don't serve others. I love God, but I don't serve others. That's like saying, I eat chocolate, but I don't absorb calories. The one just assumes the other. You can't do that. So fundamental to following Jesus is this idea of serving others. And in fact, our service to others is interpreted by God as love for him. Listen to what the writer to the Hebrews says, and I love this statement. It's so profound. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, he says, God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by serving other believers as you still do. Friends, that is such a profound thought that God interprets and receives our service towards others as love for him. How do you love God? You give yourself in service to others. And as you do, the others grow and the whole body becomes healthy and growing and full of love. Let me finish with this final thought. I have a 13-year-old son, and his name is Nathan. And like many boys his age, he is mad about sport. He just loves any form of sport, soccer, cricket, basketball, you name it, Scrabble. I don't know if that's a sport, but he loves Scrabble. And every time we play anything, whether it's soccer, cricket, AFL, basketball, or Scrabble, he always asks me the question, Dad, what are we playing for? Like, what's at stake? What do I stand to win here? What's the prize, right? He's one of the most competitive kids I've ever met, and I'm fully convinced he gets it from his mother, okay? And every time he asks me, what are we playing for? And I think it's a valid question because if you think about it, every major sporting code in the world has its ultimate prize. In rugby, it's the William Webb Ellis Trophy. In the AFL, it's the Premiership flag. In soccer, it's the FIFA World Cup. Every sporting code has its major ultimate prize. And so the question is, when it comes to this game of life, this infinite game of life and of faith journey, what's the ultimate prize? What's at stake here? What are we playing for? And do you know that the answer to that question is two words: eternal life. Eternal life. Paul the Apostle, who we've read about so much today, was also sport mad. And throughout his New Testament writings, he uses sporting metaphors and analogies to describe and explain this faith life. And in those metaphors and analogies, he references time and time again the fact that the ultimate prize that all of us are competing for and running for and looking forward toward is the gift of eternal life. Eternal life, the crown of righteousness, a quality of life that not only shapes the here and now, but a quality of life that translates into the life to come beyond this one. A quality of life characterized by relationship with God and friendship with God that marks and shapes and defines your here and now and then carries you through the doorway of death into eternity and shapes your life for time without end. Eternal life. And friends, I'm saying that because the fact of the matter is the stakes could not get any higher. When we're talking about this faith life we do together, our role and responsibility as the body of Christ in the earth, we are talking about eternal life. People's eternal destinies are at stake. People's eternal lives are what we are ultimately working and serving and giving to secure. Eternal life, yours, mine, and the eternal lives of those we love and do life with every single day. Friends, the stakes could not get any higher. So why? Why get off the bench and onto the field? Why run the risk of getting in the game and getting hurt? Why get off your seat and say, you know what, I'm not going to observe anymore. I'm not going to spectate anymore. I'm going to get in the game and I'm going to serve and I'm going to give and I'm going to participate. I'm going to get involved. Why do that? The answer is because the stakes could not be any higher, because you and I are living and serving and giving for the ultimate prize of righteousness, eternal life. And it is well worth the effort. So friends, if the Rocks as a body of Christ in this beautiful city is going to be healthy, growing, and full of love, it's going to be because every single one of you is personally, relationally, directly connected to Jesus the head. Every single one of you is deeply embedded relationally inside this body, connected to one another in relationships of mutual independence and love. And because every single one of you takes the gift that God has given you and you use it to serve your brothers and sisters in Christ. Do that and this body will flourish in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we thank you so much for this incredible gift of life. We thank you, God, for the wonderful gift of your son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, that we can know you through faith and trust in him. And we can know what it is to live life in relationship with you, freely forgiven, accepted, included, and above all, intimately connected to you. Father, I pray that your plans, intentions, and desires for this faith community and for every single person who calls this place home will be fully realized, that they will come to pass, that your purpose will be served, that your kingdom will come, Lord God, and that you would cause each and every one of us to grow in our knowledge of you, our relationship with you, in love for you and love for one another, so that your name may be honored and glorified in and through our lives, individually and corporately. And we ask it in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone who agreed said, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you, Rocks family. You've been amazing. See you again soon. Pastor D.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.